A seminar is taking place Monday at the Salesian University here in Rome on the effects pastoral work can have on the life of priests. The theme of the meeting is Priests on the Couch, the Ease and Unease of the Priest's Pastoral Work. The afternoon discussion aims to help recognize and manage the psychological problems priests can encounter. An Anglican and canon professor of religions and education at Warwick University in England, Leslie Francis, is taking part in the discussion. He spoke to Lydia O'Kane.
We're talking about this discussion that's going on at the Salesian University, Pontifical Salesian University, and it's to do with priests, but it's to do with priests who try to manage the psychological effects that can come with the job. And I think a lot of people would probably not even think about that in the priest, but it's obviously very much there in evidence. And the first question I wanted to ask you is, what signs do you look for?
Yes, part of my research interest and my practical interest is taking a measure of what I call the work-related psychological health of priests. Work-related psychological health is a positive thing, but on the opposite side of that is the idea of burnout when priests are suffering from poor work-related psychological health. Now, there are two things that I try to look for when I'm looking at how a priest is functioning. The first is a level of positive affect, how positively the priest is feeling about the work and about the things. I may call this satisfaction in ministry, and there's a lot of satisfaction in ministry among priests in the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church in which I serve, and in other churches. That's the good stuff. But then on the other side, I want to look at emotional exhaustion, because alongside satisfaction in ministry, there is a great deal of emotional exhaustion going on the inside. Now, emotional exhaustion is reflected in the way in which people say, I really didn't want to get up this morning and face another day. When they say, a lot of my work is dealing with people and I really haven't got the resources to care the whole time for the things that people are asking from me. When they say, I feel sometimes, perhaps more often than I want, to be at the end of my tether. I don't know where to turn. So those two things, the negative affect of emotional exhaustion and the positive affect of satisfaction in ministry. Now, there's a sense in which the good stuff, satisfaction, does a lot to counterbalance the bad stuff, emotional exhaustion. I can find priests who are really quite exhausted, but they keep going because there's enough satisfaction to compensate it. When I find high exhaustion and low satisfaction, there isn't that compensation. That's when things begin to get dangerous, and when priests can quite unintentionally begin to go off the rails. They're not thinking straight. They're not able to cope with what's going on. They become very vulnerable.
Priests, they hear a lot, they see a lot, they have to deal with a lot on a daily basis. I mean, what is usually, you were saying the satisfaction in the job, I suppose that would be a coping mechanism, but what is usually a coping mechanism for a priest?
That is a very important question, because there are different levels at which we can talk about coping mechanisms among priests. There's a very real way in which the spiritual resources on which priests can draw are properly there to support them. Priests who give up prayer, priests who give up belief, are priests who are less able to draw on those spiritual resources. But in other ways, priests are not just special people, they're ordinary human beings. And we've learned a lot from other caring professions about how it is people who are engaged with others day in and day out need resources to deal with that. The idea of themselves being under supervision, it's de rigueur for psychologists to be in supervision, for social workers to be in supervision, to have someone onto whom confidentially they can unload and with whom they can reflect. Some of the research that I've done among Church of England clergy, where there is just the beginning of a practice of disciplined supervision, find that those who are in supervision have better resources. They're less likely to suffer from burnout. It's expensive. We need to resource, as a church, that provision of supervision. But when it's there, I think it pays dividends.
I wanted to ask you, the priest is usually the person who is helping others. Is there, or have you found, that there's a sense of embarrassment for a priest having to ask for help, to go to someone to seek help?
The truth of the matter is that there's still a lot of that culture around. And I think that's very sad, because in the formation of priests, there ought to be sufficient openness to understand their own personal vulnerability. Going to others for help is not a sign of weakness, it's actually a sign of strength. To recognise that individuals are not built to be alone. People who are called to priesthood are not called to be alone. They're called to be part of the people of God. They may well be president of the Eucharistic community, but they're part of that Eucharistic community, and there are support structures by people who live together in community. The whole notion that it is wrong, sinful, inadequate to be what? To be human? Rubbish.
Where can training start? Obviously, years ago, the training, maybe they didn't think about the psychological effects that the priest has to go through. What about, is it a case now that maybe there needs to be training in the seminaries in a sense of dealing with what can or could happen? Should it start early?
In the ministry training programmes that I'm able to influence a bit in Wales, in England, I'm very committed to having personal awareness as the very core at the beginning of the ministry training programme. Not all people are alike. Not all people whom God calls are alike. Both the candidate and the training institution needs to be thoroughly aware of the individual characteristics of each person and to value those individual characteristics. The process of formation is not a blanket process that applies to all people. It's a process that learns where the individual is and enables in a tailor-made way for that individual to grow more fully in the image to which God has called that individual. Psychology, I think, has a crucial part to play in that formation process.
What is usually, or what have you found when a priest goes through a therapy? What is the usual, is it a good outlook for them? Have you found that the success rate has been very good for them?
I'd want to question the word therapy, because the way in which I see psychology being used in formation, it is not a therapeutic process, it is a developmental process. There's a kind of notion that therapy is to do with putting right what is wrong. Development is to do with drawing out what is good within the individual. Interestingly, you see, I've been experimenting with a ministry training program in North Wales for the last 12 years. And 3 years ago, a new bishop came into the diocese where this experimentation has been taking place. And one of the things he observed was that the priests who had been formed in this kind of way were actually different in the way in which they were doing their job from the priests who had been formed in the more conventional seminary process. People, he would say, who are more whole as individuals, and as more whole individuals were able to be more effective in the pastoral ministry. People who are given the challenge to understand who they are, how they relate to other people who are different, and are given the opportunity to see that to be formed in the image of Christ is to make the most of that information, are people who are stronger. It's not a case of therapy, but it's a case of informed development.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to see in the future? Is there anything you'd like to see put in place in particular?
Yeah, I think there are two things that I'm really committed to seeing. The first may sound rather radical, but that is to have at least the foundation phase of the forming of priests to be in contact with alongside the forming of the whole people of God. Back in North Wales, we've developed a programme, a BA degree in theology for discipleship. And we're finding that in the pews of our churches, there are lay people who want to explore the implications of theology for the way in which they live. They want to be proper disciples. Now, if those who are training for priesthood are given the opportunity to explore, for education I think is exploration, alongside those lay people, they are being protected from becoming the precious people that priests sometimes are. Priests are called out from laity, but they're never called away from laity. The first thing I want to see is a formation process of priesthood alongside the formation of the whole people of God. And the second thing I think I want to see is a really firm commitment in the training of priests to the recognition of what I've come to call a theology of individual difference, a recognition that God creates difference. God creates men and women in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. God creates people of colour and people who are white in the image of God. God creates a variety of psychological types in the image of God. The church has begun to deal with some of those great issues of individual difference, but is still, I think, very much at the foothold of beginning to recognise the full implications.
There was just one more thing as you were speaking there that I wanted to ask you, and that is, do you find that priests who have had a different job, a different career before they entered the priesthood, manage differently from people who have gone straight into the priesthood, into training for the priesthood?
The experience of life is in some ways even more important than the experience of the seminary. The problem is the seminary often doesn't know what to do with the experience of life when the candidate comes in. Some of the work of the seminary appears to be to deconstruct all the things that God has taught those people through their secular career. The job is not one of deconstruction, but one of consolidating and building on those secular experiences.